Welcome to Tribe Talk, the bi-monthly podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women. During each episode, I'll be joined by members of my tribe as we hear from guest speakers and powerful women who connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and recognizing more good men. We will also tell stories of you, our listeners, working in your communities to support your tribes and to answer your questions about how to grow the tribe of women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started.
Welcome to Tribe Talk. I'm Courtney Lawless, your co-host with Tribe of Women founder Amy Robinson and broadcasting from The Pod at The Artist Evolution. The Artist Evolution is our podcast sponsor. They are a full-service marketing group, including this great podcast studio, and you can find them at theartistevolution.com. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Courtney. I am so excited that you're here. Having you on the podcast today means that we have officially had all of the Tribe of Women team members co-host the podcast.
Yay!
We love it when we reach a goal or a milestone. It's how we prove that we can GSD, get stuff done. And it's the little things that make us happy. So what can you tell us about yourself and why you've dedicated your time to the Tribe of Women team?
Well, I am a mom of three beautiful girls.
So beautiful.
I have a passion for helping people. And I've been in the social media and community building corporate space for quite some time. So I felt like it was just a good fit.
A good fit. And we get to hang out together. It's perfect.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, we're beyond fortunate to have you for all of those reasons and more. You are not only bringing big ideas and organizing our marketing life, you have such a good energy that's a mix of fun. You're always like, let's do that. And calming. You are constantly telling me I've got this when I don't think I've got it. So, and that's something that we all need sometimes. So I'm really excited that you're here.
Well, that's our tribe, right?
It is.
Yeah. We speak tribe and we live tribe.
Yes.
So, this is episode 5. Can you believe that we've gotten this far?
Like,
and it's still alive? How's it going? How do you think it's going?
Oh, I think it's going well. We're getting our sea legs with a new interview format, and we're getting really good feedback. We recently did a podcast survey, or maybe you did a podcast survey for us. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And while there's always room for improvement, I think people are enjoying and are excited for all the potential. The survey is now on our website, tribeofwomen.com, and we'd love to get people's feedback on everything from our format to who they'd like to hear from as guests. We have no fear in asking anyone to be a guest on the podcast, but there are so many great women and men to choose from that we'd love some help narrowing down our list.
Yes, please. I love surveys because they give you that information that otherwise you don't know and you just keep going and
maybe in the wrong direction.
Listening anymore because they didn't like it. Especially since there are so many great people to interview. Oh my goodness.
I really think that that's the hardest part of developing the podcast that it's been so far is narrowing that list down. So there are so many incredible women doing things to support other women. Today, however, our guest was a very clear choice.
Yes. We are about to get on a call with Taryn Brumfitt. And if you haven't heard about the body image movement or the book and documentary Embrace, you will soon. Not only from us. Movement founder and documentary director Taryn Brumfitt has been all over the world interviewing women about body loathing and body loving. And now she is on a media tour that has included a recent article in Glamour magazine. She's been on Good Morning America and The Washington Post. And likely by the time you hear this podcast, she will be on many, many other awesome media outlets.
Hello, Taryn.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're great now. We're so excited to have you here, and we appreciate that you've taken time out of your recent very busy schedule. That included a little Good Morning America spot that kind of sparked something forward, your Race to Embrace that's underway. You want to tell us a tiny bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So last week I was in LA, and I've been all across North America promoting Embrace, the documentary. And all I could see when I was walking down the street in LA was billboards that were filled with the 50 Shades Darker movie, on bus stops, on billboards. It was everywhere. Yeah. And I became really frustrated because I thought, my film is as important to be seen by women everywhere as 50 Shades Darker. And just because we don't have the budgets that they do, it shouldn't mean that we shouldn't strive for the same sort of numbers and impact. So I came up with this concept of the Race to Embrace. And what it is, I've been handing out $10 notes to women everywhere, and men too, and asking them to use the $10 note to download and watch the film. And if they love Embrace, then they take that $10 and they pass it on to the next person and the next person and so on. So it's a relay race, and the $10 is like the baton. Mm-hmm. And it's just a way of us connecting and, I guess, empowering one another to make some really great choices about our body image, but about also the human connection.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. And we're excited to hear a little bit more about that. And we'll dive into that. We're going to back up a little bit and talk about this journey that you've been on. And it's taken you from a before and after picture on Facebook, correct, to writing a book, to starting a movement, and now directing a documentary film. What can you tell us about that journey? And I think specifically, what are some of the things that evolved or surprised you along the way?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this has all for me come about very organically. I never set out to do any of the things that I've done a few years ago. But when I learned to love my body after I hated my body for years, it felt like I had won the golden ticket. And I wanted to share with as many women as I could my story, to hopefully inspire them to learn to love and embrace their body as well. So it started with the before and after photograph. It was a non-traditional before and after. Usually we see a woman before and she's overweight and she's miserable, and then she loses weight and she miraculously becomes happy. And so I swap mine around because, I mean, I think you can love your body at any stage, at every age, and weight doesn't determine our value in the world, or our health for that matter. And look, the particular photo had over 100 million views around the world, and I had 7,000 women, mostly women, some men, but 7,000 emails arrive in my inbox of women sharing their stories, and I felt the desire and the need and the responsibility to do something about the heartache that's out there.
That's wonderful.
So it sounds like this entire movement literally started with your tribe, your girlfriends and your daughter. What can you tell us about your tribe of women and what part they've played through this journey?
Gosh, my tribe of women they mean everything to me, and they're all around the world. Some I've met on social media and have just reached out to them. And lots of women in the film we met through social media. So Ricky Lake, we connected on Twitter. Yeah, she's awesome.
I love her.
Jade Beal, Renee Aria, Dr. Linda Bacon, the founder of Health at Every Size, Hanam, the bearded dame, all these amazing women are women in my tribe, and it means so much that I'm not alone in this movement of positive change. We're all in this together.
Absolutely. I say a lot, since Tribe of Women has evolved into a movement as well, you don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to start a movement. It's not that easy. It's so much more gradual and organic, like you say. And then the people that you collect along the way that then become part of your tribe is wonderful. You've been quoted as saying that health is not physical, but emotional and spiritual. And we could not agree more. In the journey that we were building Tribe of Women movement and talking to women, we discovered that self-love and acceptance are the gateway to love and acceptance of others. and that they're the key to building cultures among women where we can fully be ourselves. So can you tell us a little bit about how the way girls and women feel about their bodies affect that self-love overall? And what part does embracing our bodies play in the journey towards self-love?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've spent years making this film and I've spoken to many thousands of women around the world. And what I see is happening is there are these women who have these brilliant minds and they want to make meaningful contributions to the world, but they're so anchored down by how they feel about their body. And you can't be all the world needs you to be or what you want to be in this world if you can't have the foundation of love and self-care and self-respect and self-esteem, you know, with yourself. How can you put your hand forward? How can you back yourself in the world when you're having this negative self-talk? So I think the most exciting thing about this film is opening up and starting a fresh conversation. And what I'm finding is that through women connecting and sharing stories, we're able to give one another hope and inspiration to know that you're not alone in your battle behind closed doors. We've all lived it, we've all felt it. And as you would have seen in the documentary, I think by being vulnerable and opening up, I mean, I go to a surgeon in Beverly Hills and strip down to my knickers and, you know, and it's not to sensationalize it. It's just to be vulnerable and say, here is my body after I've had three children. And I know that people are relating. And I think that connection is a really big step in terms of humanity. We need to get together to rise up, to have conversations, to love and support one another. But it all starts with us and the relationship we have with ourselves.
We love stories. Absolutely.
Yes, and one of the nicest things about documentaries is that we're being taken along as the story unfolds. We're fully steeped in the stories of women every day and find that when we share our stories, we are sharing ourselves, and that leads to connection and empathy. So, Taryn, what has the experience of gathering stories and the interview process been like for you? And is there a particular interview that has impacted you more than any other?
Well, it's been a great pleasure traveling the world and discovering all of these stories. Asking me in the film, you know, a favorite, it's like asking me who my favorite child is. It's really tough because I love all the women. And, you know, I'm lifelong friends with all the women in the film. But look, I think I think if I had to choose one story, I really can't get past Taria Pitt in the film. She was a marathon runner, an ultra marathon runner, and she got caught in a fire. Over 80% of her body was burned. She died several times, on the operating tables, and she was never meant to walk again. And I mean, she's visibly burnt from head to toe. She's missing fingers. And she sits there in the film and says, well, do you know what? This might have been the best thing that ever happened to me, because it kind of woke me up to life and I'm not going to take anything for granted. And she's just completed an Ironman. I mean that in itself is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I love her story because it really gives women a bit of a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. For those of us who still, you know, worry about our cellulite or worry about our stretch marks,
yes.
You can't hear and see her story unfold before your eyes and not have something change within you. You can't unsee what you see in this film. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's why so much is, you know, there's so much momentum gathering around this film, mm-hmm. is that women are finding these connections with these people that I interview and they're loving them and they're making positive changes in their life. It couldn't be more exciting.
I think sharing that story is ideal because I think that when we think of the body image movement, our thoughts go directly to weight. And I think that even when we are the weight that we want to be, we constantly are criticizing ourselves for something. We're looking in the mirror and seeing the wrinkles or the gray hairs or any number of other things. And I think that there was a story that you've told in other interviews and articles about being an example for your daughter and thinking about some of the changes that you wanted to make and how you backed off of those changes because of the message that might be sending. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I was going, I went to the surgeon after I had my three children. I was going to have cosmetic surgery to fix what I thought was my broken body. And he agreed that I needed a breast augmentation and a tummy tuck. And it was a couple of weeks after that visit with the doctor that I was watching my daughter play and I had this epiphany. And it was, how am I going to teach Michaela to love her body if I can't love my body? And if I have surgery, what message will that send to her? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to just add in at this point to acknowledge that if there's someone listening that has had surgery and has had children, it doesn't make them a bad role model, mm-hmm. because we all make our decisions based on our very own unique circumstances. Mm-hmm. So in this body image movement, there's certainly no room for judgment. Yes. We don't need any more of that in the world. I decided against the surgery, and I was inspired by my 2.5-year-old at the time to not do it. And, I always acknowledge that she's the one that's really started this global movement because it all started her.
Absolutely. Yes. Let's give credit where credit is due. Our kids have us doing all kinds of things that we never thought we'd do, don't they?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about judgment and how others see us and how we see others. We've seen that there has been a growing unconscious perpetuation of what we call mean girl culture, which is full of that judging and shaming and not really seeing one another. A lot of what you're talking about in, women that choose to stay home turns into them versus women that choose to go to work. And so even what you were talking about with what we choose to do with our bodies, letting people do it, do whatever they do for whatever reason, because so often we have no idea what the true reason is. And so that we don't believe that women are mean, only that we are participating in a culture that is telling us that that's the way it is, that women are mean to each other. The same way that it's telling us that we have to be thin or that our skin needs to look a certain way. And so what role do you think that mean girl culture plays in how women feel about their bodies? And how do you think that we can overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, this mean girl culture, because it's actually not my experience at all in my life. All of the women in my life are women that hold me up and help me out and support me and likewise back to them. And sometimes I wonder whether this might be an old story that we continue to talk about. I'm really trying to dispel this myth that that women are in competition, because I don't believe we are. I think the media perpetuates this myth because it serves them, for women to be in competition. They think that's a really great profitable space for them. Mm-hmm. When I think about things that have happened, even last year, one of the mums at school, she got cancer and she was in treatment, and it was the women who rose up and made meals and did pickups and drop-offs. And so I think at the core of a woman is a nurturer, a carer, really that kind, empathetic heart. That's what I think when I think about women and the relationship that I have with all of the women in my life. So I don't know. I mean, I think we need to dispel the myth. I think we need to push back on it. And I think in terms of body image and this mean girl culture, once we stop judging ourselves, we immediately stop judging others.
Exactly.
And we're kinder to one another when we're kinder to ourselves.
Absolutely. We could not agree more. And that's why we call it a culture, and that we're participating in it and raising the consciousness, because a lot of it is just being conscious of the fact that it's being perpetuated, and that there are all of these societal outside forces that kind of have their own agenda toward it. Exactly what you were saying. That is so true.
Right. And just like the body image movement is not an anti-skinny movement, and you're focusing on overall health, Tribe of Women and feminism in general is not an anti-men movement.
We love men.
and we think that when we shine a spotlight on what it is to be a good man, there will be more good men, hence hashtag Morgan Men.
Mm-hmm. And when we shine the spotlight on women being good to each other, then there's more of that. Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
What can you tell us about the good men in your life, especially Matthew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, he's the first person I think about when I think about a good man. I mean, he has been right with me from the very get-go. And for him, I mean, he's a very private person. And for me to do some of the things that I've done over the years, even putting that before and after photograph out on social media, I mean, that was really big for him. And so he is a good man because he's had to evolve with me.
Yes.
And our relationship has as well. And look, and the other man in my life is my dad, who has taught me a wonderful foundation of values of what it means to be a good, honest, decent, loving human being on this planet. So that's two men, but I like to surround myself with lots of fabulous men that are feminists too. And I love that, you know, we just spoke briefly about, this is not about hating on men. Mm. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of this body image movement and the global epidemic of body shaming and body hating, this isn't an issue for women to fix. This is an issue for humanity.
Yes.
It affects us all. We're all in it together. And I believe that as individuals, we will continue to endure a lot of the toxic messages that are thrown our way. But collectively, when we come together, we are so very, very powerful. And I've seen it in history over the years, when the feminine and the masculine energies work together, amazing things happen. Who would have
thought? Yes, I know. And
how revolutionary. That's right.
I have to say amen, sister. That was perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, we always say that the ultimate, you know, we have a focus on women. The ultimate goal is Tribe of Human. It's absolutely, mm-hmm. We agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. And I think you're also raising some little men, are you not?
I am, yeah. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. So, and, you know, the messages are still the same for them, just as they are for Michaela, in terms of their body image and how we're raising them. We're raising them to be people who have this foundation of values that's based on who they are and what they do and how they contribute and how they feel and how they connect with one another. And it has nothing to do with what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need a whole lot more of that in the world. There's a lot of imbalance around how people are moving through life. They're just so worried about how they look. They've forgotten how they feel.
Yes.
And what a tragedy that is.
Oh, absolutely. And if we were not already in love with you and your accent, we certainly are now.
What about my husky voice?
Because I've been husky voice.
For three weeks, and I got myself a little cold, so I'm a little husky.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, we know that reaching out and reaching back, also known as embracing others, is essential to expanding the collective power and impact that occurs when women support women, and you are undoubtedly living that big time. Tell us a little bit about what changes you've already seen in the lives of other women and the women around you, maybe like your daughter or yourself.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel very privileged and very grateful to do what I do, and I receive hundreds and hundreds of emails every week from women who have seen the film or have stumbled across the story and have realized that they have a choice, that they don't actually have to spend their life in misery around about how they feel about their body, that they can actually unconditionally learn to love their body. Mm-hmm. So receiving those emails has been really profound. I had one a couple of weeks ago from a woman who was suicidal, and she wanted to end her life because of how she felt about her body. Mm-hmm. And she saw the film, and now she's chosen to learn to embrace her body. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when things like that happen, I mean, it's just it makes me cry. I love people so much. And it's just nice that we can connect and share stories. And we all have the ability to do it. So it's not like we have to wait for a pill or a potion or a lotion, or we have to save money, or we have to, we just have to open our mouths. Yeah. And be more kind and loving and generous in terms of how we share our very authentic authentic stories. Okay. How that can help other people is really quite remarkable.
That's got to be a lot to take in and process on a daily basis. That's incredible.
Yeah, but brought tears to my eyes, yeah, exactly, as you were talking, literally.
It did.
So we have these 30-day challenges at Tribe of Women that people can sign up for online, and we send out daily emails of little things people can do every day. We've had a Be the Change in January and a Love Your Tribe in February, and March is Tribe It Forward. So I wanted to ask you, what are the goals of the body image movement, and in what ways can women and men tribe it forward toward those goals?
Sounds like maybe a race to embrace is a little Tribe It Forward in action as well.
Yep.
Well, that would be amazing. I mean, it's my mission across North America to find a million people to watch, embrace, and start the conversation. And the race to embrace is exactly how people can tribe it forward. I've been handing out the $10 notes on the streets to people to download the film on iTunes or Google Play, or there's a whole range of different places you can download from. And when people see the film and love the film, they take that $10 and they tribe it forward, or embrace it forward in this case, to another person for them to watch the film and get the goodness and pass it on, and so on and so on. So, I mean, it would be fabulous if everyone could get behind the race to embrace. It feels so good. And when we reach the million, our target, the body image movement is going to make accessible the film and a bunch of study guides that we're writing with education specialists as we speak. And we're going to make that available to every high school and university across North America. So we have a few missions that we're on, but embrace and the race to embrace is where I'd love everyone to start.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
So I was going to say the same thing. I love that. That's awesome. And I hope that, and I will pledge to be a part of that as well. And
yes.
And see the movie and then pass it on and tell everybody about it.
Yeah, if we can do that in a Starbucks drive-through, we can certainly do it.
I love it.
We can certainly do it this way. Yes, absolutely.
You know, put a photo up on social media, because that's how people see it. That's how people start talking. So, yes, I look forward to seeing your photos with the hashtag Embrace It Forward.
Embrace It Forward. Love it. Great.
Well, we hate to have to bring this conversation to a close, but we know you have a busy schedule ahead of you. Mm-hmm. What do you want everyone to know about what's next for you and the body image movement?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be popping up sort of everywhere, randomly on the streets. It's so funny when I,
keep an eye out for you.
Stop people. They're like, why is this crazy Australian woman trying to stop me on the street? But I'm just going to be doing anything and everything that serves the body image movement. So it's my role as the founder to harness and facilitate positive body image activism around the world. So I'll be speaking, I'll be hugging, I'll be sharing photos, anything and anything that can help people what you'll find me doing.
Wonderful. We're big huggers, so we can get on that with you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let us know when you're in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yes, we're here.
I will. For sure.
Oh, Taryn, it has been wonderful having you today. And before we go, as is our podcast tradition, can you tell us a little bit about why you believe in Tribes of Women?
Because we can't do this alone. And having a support system around us to share the good times and the bad makes life enjoyable. And I will say one thing really quickly. It's a story, but it will answer the question. I was on the phone to a friend once, and I said to her, "Oh, Karen," I said, "my boobs, you can pick them up like they're dirty tissues." I mean, I fed 4,000 meals to my three children, right? So you can sort of pick these boobs of mine up. And she said to me, "Oh, Taryn," she said, "my boobs hang so low, they hang down to my knees. In winter, I can wrap them around my neck and use them as a scarf." And I mean, if that's not the true essence of having a tribe of women to make you laugh when you're having a down moment, it was a beautiful, beautiful conversation. So Tribes of Women mean everything to me.
Absolutely. And that is the real thing. Absolutely. Love it. Thank you so much. Well, we could not have said anything that you said any better. And it was so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for your support, and lovely to connect with you.
Hey, wonderful to connect with you, and I hope that we stay in touch.
For sure. Absolutely.
Thanks, ma'am. Taryn. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Okay.
Wow. That was some really good stuff. Do you see why it's so hard to narrow down the interviews?
I hear that, girl. And it's why it's so important that we get feedback from the survey on our website.
Exactly.
So also on our website, there are many other things that you can do. Number one, you'll find out how to sign up for the 30-day challenges we mentioned. Number two, you'll learn how to join the tribe, where you get to learn about upcoming podcast guests before anyone else. Mm-hmm. And number three, you'll be in the know about upcoming events and giveaways.
Like
our podcast listener-only contest to win a Get One, Give One basket.
Yes, the Get One, Gift One basket from sponsors Wild Heart Designs and Arcade Coffee Roasters, with the two Love Your Tribe t-shirts, 2 pounds of coffee, and two Love Your Tribe mugs. That just ended today.
Wah, wah.
We were so excited that we get to reveal the winner on the next podcast, episode 6, that comes out on March 28th. So there will be giveaways like that featured in the newsletter?
Yes, there will. A simple visit to the website, tribeofwomen.com, and click on Join the Tribe, and you're in.
That is great. I like to keep things simple. I think that this is also a good time to let people know that, like Wild Heart Designs and Arcade Coffee Roasters, there are partnership and sponsorship opportunities. Just contact us through private message on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or click contact at the bottom of our website. Now, one of the ways we are helping alleviate the desire to talk to absolutely everyone and Tribe It Forward to other organizations that support women is through our additional podcast segments, like the one we're about to do.
Tribe Tips! Yes, we all need tips. I really liked the one in episode 3 about building cultures in everyday relationships.
Good. Yes, we're getting good feedback on that one. Today, we've invited a guest to share a tribe tip.
And I'm really excited about this guest.
Yes, part of our job and the hope for the podcast is to be sharing the collective wisdom of the tribe. And there is so much wisdom.
There is. Add all that wisdom to all of the good that is being done by women to support women, and you have today's tribe tip.
Today, we have the founder of Restore Humanity, Sarah Fennell Buchanan. Started Restore Humanity in 2006 and opened a children's home in Kenya in 2010 for 10 children, and today she has 20. Not only that, but she spearheaded the building of and helped support a maternity ward in the local village, and she's had influence in furthering the education of more girls by raising funds for scholarships and the building of a girls' dormitory. She's with us today because through her work with her own children, she's identified another area of need and devised a solution. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you on our Tribe Tip segment and to share this initiative. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here on Tribe Talk. I've heard every single podcasts to date, and I always get excited and I'm double checking my phone to see if there's more on there. So I'm really, really honored. I think the movement's incredible and I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you.
So kind of inspired by you, we decided to make March International Women's Month instead of just focusing on one day. And so we're starting a campaign called hashtag support other women, period.
Love it.
And while other people have heard that, and of course you should support women in other ways, it's kind of a pun on our project, as you'll you'll see pretty soon.
Yes, when you told me about support other women, period, I knew that it was something that needed to go to get out there.
And when I read the story about how this started, I was blown away. Can you tell our listeners how this started?
Well, so the support other women, period, has to do with helping girls in Kenya, specifically in the village we work in, getting maxi pads. That's kind of the first goal in what we're doing. And the way I found out that this was such an issue for not only for those girls, but for women all over Africa and actually all over the world, is in 2012, I went to the local high school in Sarembe, in the area we're in. And I was just talking to girls. The teachers asked me to come talk to them just about life and about what it's like to be a girl, because that's the same all over the world, as we know. We're all a big tribe of women. And I just was talking to the girls, and there's one thing, there's a really big issue there. There's older men that pick up young girls, and they end up sleeping with them. And I was asking, you know, why is this happening? Because it's, you know, really, it's a problem for all sorts of reasons, as you can imagine, but the rapid spread of HIV is probably the biggest one. And so I was just asking, like, why are these young girls doing this? Like, what's going on? And the girls just raised their hand and said, well, a lot of it's to buy things like maxi pads. And I mean, my jaw just hit the floor. I just thought, oh, wait, what? Maxi pads? You know, I mean, I was thinking all sorts of things, but definitely not that. So we continued talking. I was asking more questions. And before I left, I mean, we were a really small organization at this time, and we still are, but we're growing. But I just said, if there's one thing I can do to make your life easier, what would it be? And they all said, just can you please get us maxi pads? And I'm like, absolutely. Like,
That breaks my heart.
I know.
That breaks my heart.
It does. And it's something that we just completely take for granted. You know, even to the point of kind of being embarrassed that we're buying maxi pads at the store, right?
Right.
Or, you know, heaven forbid somebody goes in there and does it for us.
Right.
That we just don't think about the fact that is the extreme that women would go to feel clean and dry.
Right. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and rightly so, we should be upset about this, but the fact that there's like a luxury tax on some products for women for their period here, and that is ridiculous, of course, but it's literally a luxury item for women all over the world. They can't afford to get it. And so if you can just imagine, I mean, it's not a picnic for anybody to have their period. I mean, it's usually when I say it, probably now people are cringing, but but it's what we have to deal with. And it's, you know, in the best of circumstances, it's bad. So if you don't have anything, I mean, you can only imagine. And so I started digging into this. Of course, we started getting those girls' maxi pads immediately. And then I started kind of digging in and finding out that women were using all sorts of things, you know, sticks, mud, you know, pieces of a foam mattress, and trying to just make it through the day or make it to school. And like, not only do those things not work, so you're worried all the time that, you know, somebody's going to see something or whatever. They don't work, but they also cause infections.
Yes.
I mean, all sorts of problems. You just can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So we, in 2012, started buying maxi pads for the girls. I felt really good about it. And the girls, we're doing great. The high school's continued to grow. It went from the first time I went to the school in 2007, there were 36 girls, and now there's 380 girls at the same school.
Goodness.
That's a whole other story in itself, which
it is
great. And we have that in, you know, on our website detailed if you want to know more about it. But so we keep buying maxi pads for them, but I started thinking about the toll it's taken on the environment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you learn about maxi pads, I mean, they're not biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take, what I read, it takes about 800 years in a landfill.
In a country where just trash disposal and things like that are not advanced anyway.
At all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about, so I started to do the math a little bit. If we're buying 380 girls maxi pads each month, and we usually get them a pack of 12.
Mm-hmm.
If they use all of those, which a lot of women would, then that's 4,500, it's over 4,500 pads thrown away each month.
Oh, wow.
And about 54,000 per year. And that's just from one high school in rural Kenya.
Oh.
I saw a statistic, it's 432 million pads are disposed each month globally.
Wow.
So I mean, you just imagine this is a massive issue.
It is.
So I don't know if you'll put this on here, but I'm going to say it anyway. But so we found another solution because, I mean, of course we have to get girls maxi pads. Like, that was a no-brainer. But so we found a solution that solves all these problems.
Yes.
So a company here in the U.S. called Thinks.
With an X.
Yes.
T-H-I-N-X.
Run by a really awesome woman. And they make underwear for your period. And if you haven't checked them out, check them out, ladies. They're amazing. That's all I'll say about that. But... for every pair you buy, there's a social business in Uganda called AfriPads, and that's how I heard about it. So I looked into AfriPads, and they're awesome. They make reusable maxi pads that last for an entire year. They employ 170 people in Uganda, and upwards of 95% of that is women, and that's in all levels of the business, from management, everything. And they partner with nonprofits and women's groups. They've even started to sell them in stores, and they have reached almost 1 million women and girls with their products. So, I don't know how much all you're going to, I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah, you just keep talking. So it's International Women's Month, and we have a month to do something. We're in the middle of the month right now. We're talking all about months and periods. Months and periods.
Right. cycles. Right.
And so we're in the middle of the month, so you're halfway there right now. So how can we tribe it forward a little bit more and give you that extra push here at the end? What's your ultimate goal?
So the ultimate goal is we want to buy 500 packets of AfriPads. And those each of those packets contain 3 daytime pads and 1 nighttime and a storage bag. So if we can buy 500 of them, that covers the 380 girls at the high school, and it covers 120 girls in 7th and 8th grade at the primary school.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Then that's $2,500 because they're about $5 a packet, which is such a good deal.
Nothing compared to what we waste on ourselves, actually.
Yeah. Oh, all the time.
On coffees every day.
And I mean, I mentioned to some women here that they were reusable maxi pads, and I had women just cringe away and couldn't believe, how could you do that?
Oh.
I used them myself when I was there. I tested them out.
Good on
and
you.
And they are really comfortable. They're so easy to wash. They're so easy to take care of. I mean, it takes minutes, and they're clean, and they're... Anyway.
And they're sanitary. Great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
They're amazing. Because, I mean, I didn't want to buy them unless, obviously, I'm trying them out myself.
Right.
Exactly. Good.
But they actually work. So, and we were spending about $12 per girl per year, but now we'd be spending $5. So it's more cost up front, but in the end, we end up saving money.
Well, you actually get to do more with that. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. So if you reach the $2,500, which I'm pretty sure you will, like one of those little thermometers that you get up to, I just imagine the top of it bursting. Because,
right.
Because I think people are really going to get behind this. Mm-hmm. So what happens if you meet that goal?
Well, yeah, the goal is what we're asking, and to kind of get a bunch of women just to kind of definitely, it's a tribe situation. If we can get 100 women to give $25, we'll reach our $2,500 goal, which shouldn't be hard. No. I mean, ladies, we can definitely do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we get past this, which I'm hoping we will, if I hope we meet that $2,500 goal, we've got so many more things we can do for women. So everything that we're raising this month within this campaign is specifically for girls and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are 3 other high schools in the area that have hundreds of girls at them. We can buy pads for them. We also, the maternity ward that you mentioned earlier, we went and visited this time, and they're in need of an incubator. They're in need of more sheets, more mattresses, all sorts of stuff. So however far we can take it, we'll take it. I mean, women and girls need our help. And so it's really cool to be able to do this. And I think we're going to try to do it every year. I mean, just have a month of focusing on women and raising money for women. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm really honored to be here and excited. And I hope that you'll come check us out on our website and get involved.
RestoreHumanity.org.
Absolutely. And it's just, to me, you know, when we talk about supporting women, you should do that in every way that you can. But this is a real tangible way. You're helping a woman. I mean, these girls will be helped for the entire year.
Absolutely.
Through that. So,
then we'll do it again next year, right?
Yeah.
And the year after that.
Yes. Women forever.
Absolutely. So this segment is called Tribe Tips. So, you know, the first thing I would ask you, okay, can you give us a tip on how to be awesome like you? But maybe we can dial it down to even something a little more practical. So you went to Kenya, you went to Africa, and that was kind of you saw this and you were inspired by starting Restore Humanity and everything that you've done there, all the way to going and talking to the girls and realizing that we're taking some things for granted and what women have to, the extremes that women have to go to in order to do that. We're not traveling places. If we're not seeing things firsthand, how do we build that empathy? How do we connect? How do we look at a situation and really say, I want to help that situation? How in Restore Humanity have you found people are inspired to give and support to another country that they may or may not be visiting?
Right. Well, I've honestly been blown away because of the last 10 years that we've been doing this. Pretty much everything we've done had just been from individuals here in our area, Northwest Arkansas. And I always find it amazing that they're supporting people that they'll never meet across the globe. But what's so cool about that is that I try to, with the work that we do, make it help everybody understand that while we have all these differences, there are some cultural differences. There's things, some things are funny, some things are not. Something, you know, I mean, you just learn these different things and we're all different and that's great. But we have so much more in common than we are different.
Yeah.
And so, like with our children's home, you know, we raise our kids the way that I was raised and the way, like, my husband was raised and the way, you know, the way that we, every American family wants to take care of their kids, you know, and it's not very much different, you know. It's like you just want to care for them and love them and give them support. And so you really can relate to people, even someone living in a village without running water and electricity, a lot more than you think you can. And as far as helping, I feel like people always say things like they feel like they can't, if they can't do a lot, then they can't do anything.
Yeah.
And there's a Mother Teresa quote that I think she says something like, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one.
Yeah.
And if you're just helping one person, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you're one person. So think about what that feels like to you. So it's kind of like, just like in our mission statement, I mean, we help however, whenever, you know, we can.
Yeah.
Because you just take the opportunities as they come. And it might be somebody right outside of your door. It might be your neighbor. It might be you find an organization that you're connected to. But just whenever you find that opportunity, that's what you do. I mean, that's how I got started doing this. I got asked to come to Kenya, and I did. And most people, I mean, that's not a common opportunity that people have. But, like, there's just so many ways to do it. And just, it's never, like, there's never an amount that's too little. Like, doing something is what is the goal.
It's little things.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're excited to support you.
Love you, ladies.
Thank you. Love you.
Do you believe in Tribes of Women? Join the movement in our newsletter at tribeofwomen.com and be the first to learn about upcoming podcast guests, product releases, events, and giveaways. Find, subscribe, and rate the Tribe Talk podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and other major platforms, and share it with your tribe. Then follow us for inspiration, information, events, and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using @tribeofwomen. This is Tribe of Women.
Lorrae Mosier,
Courtney Lawless,
Laurie Marshall,
and Amy Robinson. Thanks for listening.